Welcome to Bad Therapy, episode 15.
Damn.
Motherfucking 15.
Are we going to do this every episode?
Well, because every episode, it's like, how are we at this episode?
For sure.
This is 3 months, like just over 3 months of podcasting.
I know. That's crazy.
And we are brain dead. And we are brain dead.
We are.
We promised each other that we would do this for a year to wait and see results. Like, we're going to stick it out a year. We already have
some results.
Results.
So, yeah.
And it's been 3 months.
Yeah. So, cheers to that. Cheers to Bad Therapy, episode 15.
Back to red wine on the couch. I should probably.
Yeah, please be careful. Okay, so before we start this episode, we are going to give a trigger warning.
Trigger warning, TW.
We are going to be talking about ED, aka eating disorders. And we're going to be very, very brutally honest. So, if you're going to be triggered, we won't be mad. Don't watch.
If talking about this is something that triggers your eating disorder,
yeah,
don't watch it.
Please don't watch it, because that is not the goal here. The goal is to feel understood.
To create a safe space.
A safe space to talk about something that I feel like isn't talked about enough in detail.
And talk about like the nitty gritty, the dirty shit that people don't want to talk about because it's like no one wants to accept that that's reality.
Yeah, or like you're embarrassed and like you want to just be seen in a certain light, when in reality, ED is a very serious matter that a lot of people, I think everyone has at least dealt with some sort of, maybe not everyone, but most people that I talk to have dealt with this on some capacity, some worse than others. And I've dealt with it pretty bad.
We're going to be talking about bulimia, anorexia, bodybuilding, diet culture, a lot of triggering stuff. So if it gets you, see you next week.
Yeah.
If you can relate to this, please stay, because we're just here to be like a companion.
Yeah.
In it,
or if you want to understand like more about why it happens or what it's like to experience and live through it, then listen. But it's going to be not a dark pod, but just maybe a triggering pod for some.
And I feel like this day and age, it's all over social media. Like people are triggered constantly.
And can I just say, because when I was a kid, and it used to be a lot more in the media. So like I do get putting a trigger warning, because one time when I was a kid, probably like 9 or 10, I was watching Full House, and there was an episode where DJ was trying to lose weight for like a swim party. And so she was only eating carrots and drinking water and was like on the elliptical and running like miles and miles.
The
and miles.
Epitome of
and
just.
Then at the end of the episode, like she fainted. They had a talk. They're like, this is bad. This is bad. But then I remembered that episode when I was like probably like 6 years later in high school, when I had gained some weight and I wanted to lose weight. And I remembered that episode and I was like, oh, I can just do that. Like I don't have to eat. If I just starve
myself. If I just don't eat, I'll lose weight.
Yeah.
And it's so deeply rooted, like in our culture, especially as women from very young adults, is like women starving themselves, like the yellow polka dot bikini Yoplait girl, and she eats half a yogurt and
like
she's
we're
skinny
only
and
expected to eat like a salad at dinner. And
yeah. And it's like white chicks. Perhaps a salad, perhaps not. That's literally me. So
same.
Yeah, it's deeply embedded in our culture. And I think it affects obviously, it affects some people seriously. It creates binge eating disorders. Mm-hmm. It creates bulimia. It creates anorexia. Mm-hmm. And
super unhealthy relationships with food.
And the diet.
And your body.
The diet culture in this generation is unbelievable. Like, you go on Instagram, you can't fucking scroll 2 TikToks. Don't eat this. Mm-hmm. Don't eat this. Oh, you shouldn't drink
eat
water.
That. And then it contradicts. You shouldn't eat water.
No, it's like, you know, really, you see all this stuff and it's like.
Too much water is bad.
Be a vegan.
Yeah.
Do Don't all meat.
Vegan. Yeah.
You have to have filtered tap water. Drink
filtered tap water is bad.
Yeah.
Minerals.
Drink the mineral water. Yeah. So it's impossible to know and to like feel confident.
And everyone's body too is different. So it's very like intuitive, which we're not taught. We're taught because we don't know, you know, like when I was a kid, my mom did not a kid, but I was in high school. My mom did bodybuilding competitions. And I remember I had played sports my whole life. Like I was always a little bit chubbier. Like I won't say chubby, but I was always the friend that was bigger than the rest of my friends, even as a kid. But I played every sport. Like, I would even say I had an almond mom, okay? So we didn't have any snacks in the house. Like, we didn't even have regular milk.
You didn't eat junk food.
We literally,
yeah.
We had everything was organic and healthy and, like, no sugary cereals. Like, nothing. Everything was healthy. So I was eating clean. I was a kid. My mom
would
cook
dinner.
You were an athlete.
Yep.
I wasn't binging. I was an athlete. But yet I was still bigger than the rest of my friends. And obviously, as a kid, you're able to acknowledge that and take that in, but you don't really see it as a problem. However, even then you still don't feel great. You're like, why do I look different?
Right.
And I would go to my friends' houses who would just have junk food.
They're
and
eating
junk food,
burgers and fries
but they were
and
so
cereal.
Skinny.
Yeah.
So fast forward to high school when I finally stopped playing sports and was just eating normally. Like I was a kid, you know, 15, 14, teenager, preteen, whatever. And I gained a bunch of weight. I think I gained like 16 pounds or something, which was crazy because all I had stopped doing was moving my body because I wasn't playing sports and I wasn't going to the gym. Like I was in high school.
Yeah.
Early in high school before that was like introduced to me. And my mom was doing bodybuilding competitions and I was watching like what she would do and what she would eat and how she would work out. And I started to think like, oh, that's like a normal way of eating.
That's how you should eat. That's how you should work out.
You should only eat chicken and rice and veggies. And don't get me wrong, like that's great to eat. But I became, because I was watching her show prep food, which is not how a normal person should eat.
It's not food.
It's so restrictive and it's so like low in
with
calories.
With the scale and everything. Yeah,
and very, so that's how I got introduced to weight loss was, and no fault to her. Like she didn't know that it was having like a negative effect on me. I didn't know that either. Like in terms of health, like I was being so healthy. There's actually an eating disorder called orthorexia. And it's basically categorized around people that only eat like super restrictive, clean diets. Like you're eating the calories that you need, but you're basically on show prep, which for those of you that don't know, show prep is like 3 ounces of rice. If you get rice for that meal, 4 ounces of chicken and like 3 ounces of broccoli, like one strawberry for dinner.
There's no balance.
Yeah. No balance. And it's very like, it's a science because you're trying to get your body to look a certain way. It's not normal and it's really bad for your metabolism.
And food isn't food at that point. No, it's just, you're strictly eating it to survive.
And you're trying to like obtain a certain physique. And so that's like the science behind it. So obviously I didn't know this at the time. So I was watching my mom and she was like, yeah, you can eat my meals. Like she had food prep. And so I was eating like just super clean and it was working. Like people, I was also working out and people were seeing me at school like, wow, you look really good. And like, it became an absolute obsession.
Obsession.
In my head though, I was taking such good care of myself. Eating, I was eating clean, so healthy. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't even eat, like my friends, we would all go out for bagels after school. Like I wouldn't even eat a bagel. I would be like, oh, I already ate.
Which is like a normal food.
For a 16-year-old.
A regular food group.
A bagel after school, you know? So I wouldn't even let myself eat that. And I just thought, like now I would feel weird doing that because I know that that's not a normal way to think and that's not healthy. Like unless I really ate like shit that day or like there was a reason why or I wasn't hungry.
Yeah,
I
didn't want a bagel. Yeah.
But
the only reason you shouldn't eat a bagel is if you don't want a fucking bagel.
Yeah. Or if you really are trying to like lose weight and like that's not something that's like on your list of foods
fits
for the
your
day.
Macros or whatever. Yeah.
Like in a healthy way. Like it's okay to set boundaries for your food intake, but not into the sense that I was. And then like, I'll make this brief and then you can get into yours. But then that eventually stemmed because that wasn't sustainable, but that stemmed into me then. Okay. Well then if I work out really hard and then I started really tracking, which that's the craziest shit.
Tracking's the trigger that brings you downhill.
I started tracking like my obsession with food got so out of control. And this, mind you, I was fucking skinny at the time. Like I was in great shape.
And you were like 16.
Yeah, 16, 17, 18. This happened through like, I think I was 15, 16 through 19. This was like super prevalent in my life. And that just goes to show how unattainable it is because like I couldn't keep up with it.
And you were a 16-year-old
like
girl.
Like 3 years. And then I like completely went off the
and
rails
crashed.
And gained so much weight. Like couldn't, like I fucked up my thyroid because
and never
of
had a balance with food.
Never. Yep. And had a super unhealthy relationship, like super depressed, all this shit. But I remember the peak of it was I was tracking everything down to like, if I ate a grape, I would track like, Allie, you don't need to track the grape that you ate. Like, it's going to be okay. The grape is not going to make that big of a difference.
But you don't feel like that in the moment.
No, in the moment, it's like, oh my God, I ate a grape and now I have to go on a run to burn 15 calories.
Yeah.
For what? Why was I, you know what I mean? And it got so bad to the point, like there were days where I was only eating 1200 calories because that was working for
me. Which is food for a baby.
It's for birds. It's for the birds. And there'd be days where I would eat 900 and be like, oh, it's late. Like, I don't need to eat dinner. I'm just going to go to bed. And then I'm going to wake up skinny in the morning. Like crazy. And
destroying your metabolism.
This is when I knew it was really bad was when I remember I came home from work one day. Like sometimes I would hit like double days in the gym just for no reason. Like I liked working out. So that wasn't the problem. But like the reasoning behind why I would do it was like
to work out, to burn off the food you ate. That's not how you should be approaching it.
So I get home one day from work and I had like, I was just so, cause like after doing this for so long, your cravings kind of get out of control because it's so unsustainable. Your body is just like, I can't fucking do this anymore. And so my cravings, and I'm a foodie, like I like food, were so insatiable this day. And I was craving ice cream so bad. And so I think I took like 3 bites of ice cream immediately went to the bathroom, made myself throw it up. Like, for three bites, like, girl, you're going to be okay.
Because you're at the point, though, when you're in that mental mindset of food being an enemy, three bites is... That's enough to push you over the edge.
Yeah.
Because you're at the point where food is not fuel. Food does not make you feel good. Food makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
It makes you feel bad about yourself.
100%. And the amount of guilt that I felt for eating three bites of ice cream. I was like, it's fucking Tuesday. Why are we eating ice cream?
To
like,
the point where you are going to go make yourself vomit.
Yeah. And so like, I knew that was bad, but like, I'm in denial. Also, another thing that people would say, like my mom would be like, God, you're just so skinny. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But then I would turn around and like smile. Like
it's like the compliment of the lifetime.
Cause I was never skinny. You know, I was never the skinny girl. I never viewed myself as skinny. So I knew I was at this time. And hearing that, it like fuels, like I see, for example, the Kardashians, like Khloe Kardashian.
And they're so fucking skinny.
She lost so much weight during like one of the seasons and everyone was like worried about her. And they were like, you're just so skinny. And I remember seeing like it on TikTok and everyone's like, people need to stop saying that to her because
she loves it.
Like you're only making it worse. So you need to just stop commenting. Stop telling her she looks skinny. Stop telling her because she's feeding off of
don't
that.
Don't even mention it.
And obviously I don't want to speak on someone else's journey, but like just knowing Khloe's history with her weight, like it's obvious that
probably all of them are kind of ungodly skinny. Like you see the picture of their arms,
they're all on drugs now.
Ozempic and all that shit. And like, I get that you're famous, like to have that much limelight on you all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could avoid doing it because that's what everyone expects, but it's so unhealthy.
And here's the thing. Like, I don't have a problem with Ozempic because I think some people like, it really is medication that people need. And I don't think weight loss is so black and white and so linear. Like we have genetics that are in play, hormones, people's just like mental health and just different dispositions in life. Like it sometimes is just more difficult. Like for someone like me who really does struggle more than the average person, especially with my thyroid, to maintain a normal weight and not fluctuate weight, like how nice that would be to just be like, have to not have to think about it and not have to worry about it and just feel like normal. But there's such a stigma around it because it's like the easy way out. And I get it. Like people work their ass off to lose weight and then people are just getting on this drug. And like, but those are, I think a lot of the people that do that are people that wouldn't otherwise be able to lose weight. And
some then they're people lose weight a lot easier than other people.
And then what, they're just supposed to be fat and unhealthy and live a miserable life. Like, why? Just let them do what they want to do. Like,
well, and like, there's people, like you said, that cut calories and work out and still have a really hard time.
Me.
They hold body fat and your metabolism adjusts so rapidly that it's like, okay, so 1200 has now become your new maintenance.
Yeah.
And that's when it becomes a problem because you can't just keep eating less and less.
400 calories a day to
wither away just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that I really noticed specifically when I was on prep, is that I was at such a low calorie intake, but I was not losing weight anymore. Mm-hmm. I had so rapidly lost weight and then I plateaued for 5 weeks.
Because your body goes into survival
mode. I was panicking.
It stops burning your fat because it's like thinking, oh, you're not going to feed me anymore. Right. I need to survive.
I have to live. So I'm doing 2 hours of cardio a day, 2 hours of lifting a day, eating 1200 calories, miser fucking bull, not losing weight. And I was like, that was when I had to reassess like my coach and my situation because my carb intake was so low. Like my body had no fuel.
Yeah.
My body had burned through all my fat stores and was holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
And so my whole life, I was an athlete kind of like you, but I never really struggled with weight. I was pretty consistent. Then when I turned 18, I moved to San Diego and everybody was skinny and everyone was tan. And everyone was fucking gorgeous. And I kind of went into a spiral of like, I need to be really, really, really in shape here. Mm-hmm. And that was when I kind of got obsessed with the gym. Like I got my personal training certification and I worked out hours and hours and hours a day. And I was a vegan. Mm-hmm. I ate really well. I was the skinniest I'd ever been there.
Yeah.
Felt great about myself. Like thought that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And rebounding into regular life, I gained a lot of weight.
Because it's not sustainable to live like that for longer than like 2 years.
No, exactly. So like 18 to 21, I was super skinny. And then, you know, moving out of San Diego, moving back into like a regular life situation, I gained like 30 pounds.
Yeah, which isn't like that much, but it feels like a lot, especially when you were so mentally attached to the way you looked when you were so much lighter.
Your clothes just, you feel like your clothes fit better. You feel like people look at you differently. Yeah. And it's not true.
No.
Like your clothes fit great either way. People still think you're attractive either way, but it's the way you feel about yourself. Yeah. Like the confidence.
The confidence that you exude.
Because 100%. It's been so widely pushed and accepted that women are supposed to be so skinny and just like petite. Yeah. And
I mean, it used to be way worse when like our moms were young.
Oh, like thank God we weren't born in the 90s.
Like at least curves are more accepted now.
Oh yeah. My mom had a major eating disorder. Like, she ate like a literal bird.
Yeah.
She would not eat. And I always thought it was just like because she wasn't hungry. At the time, I was too young to realize.
Yeah, we don't understand.
She weighed 30 pounds less than she should have.
Well, and that goes back to like a lot of the TV shows and movies and stuff around that time. It's very clear that the women in those shows like have eating disorders and like advertise and advocate for eating no food.
Nothing.
You know?
Yeah, no, and that's the
standard.
And it's
very normal. And, you know, they talk about being fat and this and that, like things that would never be talked about nowadays on shows, which maybe people are a little too sensitive nowadays, you could argue. But it's just crazy how widely, like, accepted eating disorders were.
Well, and absolutely. And I feel like it's at the far end of the spectrum now where everyone's gotten so sensitive where people are
accepting
morbid obesity, which I'm not saying that. Like
we should like bully people.
There's a lot of different reasons for that happens, but the bottom line is just like being malnourished, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this is to be able to find a balance where you are healthy.
Yeah.
You're able to enjoy your life, but you're still a healthy, active person.
Which me and Madison were talking before this. We both feel like we're the heaviest that we've been in a while, but we're both like completely healthy and normal looking girls. We're just not liking real
I'm just
thin
not my prep body
in my like with abs, because that's just crazy, because I like, God forbid, I want to eat a fucking bagel,
right? Like and we work out often. I play volleyball 3 days a week. Like, we are very active
healthy
people. We
eating,
don't eat a bunch of junk food.
Yeah,
but yeah, your body holds on to a little more when you're not trying to lose weight. And I think that's the shitty thing, especially about being a woman. If you are not avidly trying to lose weight,
then you're fat.
You're overweight, and you're gonna stay the same. Yeah. Like, it's really hard. Yeah. Like, my boyfriend stops eating dairy for 3 days and loses 10 fucking pounds.
Well, because we have so many hormones in play. So I know I've touched on my hypothyroidism a few times, but it's super relevant in this conversation because for years after I fucked my metabolism up doing, like, I did a fitness competition too, and I, you know, my eating disorder was just super out of control. And I got to a point where I gained a bunch of weight, and for the life of me, no matter if I starved myself, no matter how much I worked out, like, I tried to pull all the tricks in my hat of tricks. I tried to pull every trick in my hat out that I had used in the past to lose weight, and none of them were working. Like, my metabolism was shot. And I thought that it was because I was fat and lazy and, oh, I'm not working hard enough, I'm not trying hard enough. And then 3 years later, I find out I have hypothyroidism and I get medicated. Immediately, I lose 10 pounds, which she told me that was going to happen. And
because your body finally balances out.
Because it was hormones. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. And this really was a hormonal thing within my body. And so that just goes to show that there are so many factors that contribute to why it's hard for people to lose weight, why it's hard for people. Because like for me too, because hypothyroidism made me so tired that not
only- You had
only,
no energy to do anything.
Not to go to the gym, not to do anything. And so then you get in your head and you gaslight yourself into thinking like, you're the problem, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. And then it spirals your mental health like down the fucking rabbit hole, and you just think like, you're a piece of shit. And why can everyone else do all these things? And like, why am I here? And like, why do I have this problem? And then, yeah, you turn to food for comfort. And so then it's like this vicious cycle that you can't get out of. Once I got medicated, oh my God, I had all the energy in the world. I was losing weight without even having to think about it. Could eat like a normal person. Didn't have to track my calories. Didn't have to worry about going to the
normal
gym.
Normal
like,
level of
could
energy.
Go
yeah.
to the gym to be healthy rather than, oh, I have to work off
the food
the fat
that
on
ate.
My body. And yeah, so that's obviously not the case for everyone, but it being so stigmatized on, oh, like it's so easy to lose weight and women have such a hard time in general because we have so many hormones involved that men don't have. And so it's easier for men to lose weight. It's just a fact. And not all men, you know, but in general, because there are some women with really, like, you've always had a really fast metabolism, whereas I, from as a little kid, like, it runs in my family. My whole, one of my sides
it's
of
genetics.
My family
yeah,
is
absolutely.
Completely ridden with obesity.
And like, that's the problem with all these fitness influencers saying, like, get up off the couch, you lazy piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's calories in, calories out. Yeah. And, like, I'm not going to deny, like, it is calories in, calories out. But there's so many factors that go into how many calories your body is burning and retaining. Like
anyone could cut 1,000 calories off of what they're eating and lose weight. But who's to say that that won't fuck your metabolism up? And then you do irreparable damage on your metabolism that you then have to... For, you know, you lose weight for a year and then the next year and then 5 years later, you're still trying to repair the damage that you did from starving yourself.
And if you're rapidly cutting calories like that and rapidly losing weight, you will rebound.
Yeah. Like, it'll work. Like, don't get me wrong. You will lose weight. You will lose weight, but you will not be able to sustain it. And then you'll get into this binging cycle where 6 days out of the week, this used to be my, what I would do. 6 days I would eat completely clean, 1200 calories. And then I would go on, it was every Saturday, I would go get whatever fast food or food I was craving, sushi, pizza, whatever, a huge amount of food. And then I would stop by the gas station on the way home, get candy and Cheetos and like everything that I craved.
This was your one day to get it in.
And I would eat all of it in one day to the point where I was sick, fall asleep sick, wake up like 4 hours later,
feeling horrible,
and eat more.
Yeah.
And then go back to sleep, wake up on Sunday, not eat a thing on Sunday, go to the gym, be miserable, and then start it over on Monday.
It's an all or nothing mindset. Yeah. And that's the problem with this culture is like, there's no balance in it. It's, you have to find balance. Otherwise you will, like you said, there's cycles of binging and purging.
Like there was definitely a phase where I was maintaining being able to eat clean all the time and then have like things where it was like healthy, but I could only sustain that for so long until I really felt like I had to take advantage of my one cheat day. Like cheat days are supposed to be cheat meals, whatever. I don't fucking know. That even feels toxic to me.
Yeah. Like even the word cheat meal. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, I would just put it all in one day and call it good. And I thought I was doing good for my body.
Thought that was right.
Traumatic. My body, the trauma, my body.
Your body's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. And even the 80-20, like people are like, just do 80-20. It's not that simple.
No.
Like 80% of the time I eat perfect. 20% of the time I eat like shit.
Yeah. Like how do you really, no, like, there, that's logistically not, calculate that?
That's not going to work either. It has to be, it has to be habitual thing. Your habits have to change.
And let me just say, I'm so fucking sick of it because why can't we just be like, let's say, so we both have like a maintenance weight, which my maintenance weight is like, no matter what, like I could eat really bad. I could eat really clean. But if I'm not trying to lose weight, this is what I'm at.
Right.
All the time. And if I want to lose weight, I have to really try. But if I'm just eating normally, like this is the weight. And this weight right now is not, I'll be honest, a weight that I'm super thrilled with. Like I don't feel the most confident. I don't feel, but like I have cellulite, I have rolls, I have this, I have that. I'm not like, you know,
there's nothing wrong with your body.
But I feel like that's my body at its most healthy state.
Right.
Like, I'm not overweight. I'm not starving myself. I'm not eating unhealthy.
You're not thinking about food and dieting like, all the time.
I'm probably mentally and physically the most healthy right now, but because of the way that society is, I feel the most unhealthy. Like the way I look at myself, I just feel like it's not enough. And I feel like I'm constantly like, what could I cut out of my diet? What could I do? And it's all consuming. The only way to be successful at it is to literally let it consume your whole life. And it's so unhealthy. And like, why can't we just be confident and happy with like a normal looking body
and just like a normal balance, right? Like you don't have to be rock hard and shredded.
Like God forbid you can't see my abs and my like striations in my shoulders. Like,
well, and this was a major negative for me when I did the show. Cause you know, I did the bodybuilding show in October and all I was looking at constantly was literally the most shredded human beings on earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, especially in the photos after all the Photoshop and editing, they're rock fucking hard.
Yeah.
All these women they look so like unattainably good. And so that becomes your mindset. Like I need to look like that. Comparison for real is the thief of joy. You think
you said something too that like really made me flash back to when I was really going through it, like the editing of photos. I went through a really bad phase. Like I could probably pull up some really, really embarrassing photos where I would even edit my face because I had such bad body dysmorphia and I was like skinny when it started. And then like, God forbid you gain a couple pounds and you like it's so obvious that you're like editing your photos. And I think that most people have like, this isn't as common anymore, but there was like a phase in life where Facetune ran rampant.
It's extremely common for social media influencers.
But even like the smallest things, it's like a little dimple here or a little like squeeze it in there. It's like, I hate it because it curates this unrealistic, and I know it's such a cliche thing to say because it's like we know that social media is fake, but it's really like the models that we all look up to.
And it's in your face all day, every day. To,
and it's not even really what they look like in that photo. Like,
it's no, edited. It's not what they look like at all. There's actually this new account. I love this guy. His name's Goob U2.
Does he compare like the original and the...
So his name's Goob U2 and he's like grown rapidly in followers. I think he's like a 6 months old or maybe a year old account. And he takes the most famous influencers, the most famous bodybuilders, you know, all these people trying to sell programs and sell nutrition and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, welcome to the show. Their original photos that he's able to find from whether it be the competition photos or whatever from the original photographer and the photo that they posted, or he shows like where the lines are all blurred.
Yeah.
Like, it's everyone. It's Taylor Swift. It is people who you'd think like should not and would not be doing
don't
that.
Don't need it.
Absolutely. Yeah. editing the shit out of their photos and putting that for the world to see. And then not only that, but trying to sell a program saying, hey, if you want to look like me, this is what you have to
do. You don't even look like you.
He blasts these people sky high. I absolutely love this account. A lot of people give him hate because it's like, it's a pretty negative, you know, his videos are like, he's fucking blasting people, but it is so, it makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
When you see like Alex Earle, all these girls, Livvy Dunn.
Yeah.
And all these extremely, extremely famous, gorgeous, skinny models, and they are absolutely editing the shit out of their photos. It's like, wow, okay, so it's really not that simple.
No, and it sucks for them too, because imagine already looking as good as they do and then still feeling the need to edit your photo. Like, it's an epidemic.
And they're pushing the standard for everyone.
Yeah, and they're like, they, that's the thing with the Kardashians too, is like, they hold themselves to such a high standard and they are so hard on themselves, and I'm sure it's miserable to live like that, but they create that standard.
Right, like nobody told you that you have to look like
they
that.
They literally are the creation.
You guys look
of
fucking
that.
Weird. To be quite honest, it doesn't look normal.
They created that standard for themselves that they can't even uphold, and like, they're just the damage that it's doing to so many women.
Well, and honestly, the bodybuilding community in general, and I'm sure people are going to come at me for this because it's not like I'm like an established bodybuilder.
No, I think people that are in the industry know how toxic
it's so toxic. Yeah. Not only is the Photoshop and this unrealistic expectation push, but also like the drugs that they push. You know, I'm getting ready to prep for my first show. I was on prep for a year, which is crazy. And the shit, like we were talking, we touched on this earlier, like the shit you missed out on, like going out to bagels with your friends and not being able to have a bagel. Mm-hmm. I felt like a freak the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I couldn't go to social events. Even if I did go to social events, I just wouldn't eat.
Weird girl
I had
corner.
My
yeah.
turkey and rice
yeah.
in the fucking movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone's like,
okay, crazy.
You know, it's cool what you're doing. Kudos to you for having that much discipline.
Yeah.
But like, also you look miserable.
Yeah.
Also, you look like a little colonial boy.
Yeah.
That was my nickname when I was on prep. Cause
I'd never seen you so skinny.
And I had a six pack and I had striated shoulders and the mental damage that I did to myself during that prep, I haven't really talked about it a lot because everyone's like, oh, your show, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you look so good.
You don't really want to come forward with how much damage it did, but I was so miserable mentally, physically, emotionally. All I fucking cared about was what I looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I would get up in the morning, look in the mirror, pull my shirt up. Can I see my abs? Everywhere I'd go, can I see my abs?
Yeah.
What am I eating? Tracking, like you mentioned, a grain of rice. If I would eat a grain of rice over, that's 10 extra minutes on the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, you get so addicted to this mindset. And especially in the bodybuilding community, it's so pushed to be so perfect.
Yeah.
And these people are so unrealistic because they're all on fucking drugs.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to someone the other day, I think it was actually today, and I was telling them, like, yeah, she does, because we were talking about my podcast. I was like, yeah, my co-host, like, oh, she does bodybuilding, or they asked what we were going to talk about tonight. So that's how it got started. And they were like, oh, that's so cool. And I was just like, yeah. All right, oh, is she going to compete again? And I was like, I don't think so. Or they're like, what division was she in? What, whatever. And I was like, well, the one that she was in, she would have been in like physique, I think, or wellness, or
I ain't physique.
wellness, right?
Wellness, yeah.
You did bikini.
I did bikini, yeah.
So she would have been in wellness, but the girls were all on like drugs, and even the girl that beat her in bikini was on drugs, and it was just like, she's just doesn't think it's fair, because the only way she's going to beat these girls is if she takes drugs. And like, not only that, but like, as a someone that goes and watches the show, that takes the absolute joy out of watching it, because it's like,
it ruins it.
Yeah, like, whatever happened to, like, oh, you have to take drugs to win?
That's- and that was kind of the thing for me, is like, obviously there is definitely natural competitors who have won. I'm not saying that there isn't. But most of the athletes that are winning Olympias and winning first place medals are enhanced, for sure. Mm-hmm. And they push that shit on you from day one. Like, I had people, I was interviewing coaches that were like, you know, are you willing to run a cycle of VAR? Are you willing to take clenbuterol? This is a fucking horse. It's a drug for horses, okay? It's not legal for human consumption. Yeah. It's a fat burner, and it literally can cause lifelong irreparable heart damage. Anavar, Winstrol, all these drugs that they push, especially on women, they cause lifelong damage that you cannot recoup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so accepted. Not only is it accepted, but it's expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was prepping and I was, you know, completely engulfed in this world, I considered it, because I'm like, I want to fucking win. I look at these women with capped delts, a completely hard, striated legs. You can't look like that naturally, sustainably.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
And it's not fair for someone that genuinely loves the sport of working out and that was like super working their ass off. Like, it just, to me, it doesn't feel fair. you know?
So this has ruined bodybuilding for bikini competitors, because bikini used to be a very natural feminine shape. They were looking for soft, they were looking for a tapered waist, you know, large round glutes, but something that was attainable naturally. And that was why I was so attracted to that division initially, because you look at the wellness and the physique figure, you know, obviously men's and women's, and a lot of these people are running gear and they're very hard and it's very unattainable. Bikini was soft. And the sport has pushed such an unrealistic standard for these bikini girls now. You look at bikini girls, they're striated. Yeah. They're very hard.
They look like what they're supposedly.
They have capped delts. There's no way that these Olympia level bikini bodybuilders are natural. Mm-hmm. And so when I got on stage as a novice, as a true novice, my first show, I'd been cutting for a year. It was the lowest weight I've ever been. I was the hardest I'd ever been. And I placed first in both of my novice divisions, but when it gets up to the people who have been competing and the people who do it, I didn't even compare. I couldn't compare. And then to think of continuing, because everyone's like, you have what it takes, you have the figure, you have the, you know, the drive, and you could do it. Okay, well, I'm not going to do Anavar just so that I can win Mrs. Olympia, mm-hmm. and potentially not be able to have kids, potentially lower my voice 2 octaves, because mm-hmm. my voice is low enough.
Potentially grow a penis.
As it fucking is. I'm not shading people who do performance-enhancing drugs, because I understand everyone has their own reasons for doing the things that they do. Bodybuilding has helped a lot of people out of a lot of really tough situations. I just wish that the bikini division had been left alone. Mm-hmm. That division was for...
Because that division is supposed to be softer. And even the girls that you were competing against, they did not look like bikini. Like my mom back in the day, but before I think that it did take bikini bodybuilding and ruin it, like drugs did, I think that I had seen competitors that... And the girls that would win weren't...
No, it's a very... It used to be a very feminine shape. It was a very feminine way of training, of lifting, of eating, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's not anymore. I'm just saying it's very discouraging for women that refuse to take performance enhancing drugs, because you can't really win or go far in that division anymore unless you are. I mean, I'm not saying there's not genetic freaks that don't do it, or very, very dedicated people.
genetic
fucking freaks. Honestly, the only way you're going to win at this point, if you're not on PEDs, is if you're 100% a genetic freak.
Yeah.
And I don't even think there's people in the bodybuilding community that would argue with me on that.
Yeah.
So it was a huge mind fuck for me. I spent my whole year, and really my whole life, I've been dedicated to fitness, trying to get this outcome that I thought was the only thing that mattered to me. And you're on stage and you're in a tiny little bikini and everyone's staring at you and they're taking pictures of you and they're judging your body. Mm-hmm. They're literally judging your body. And my feedback, after a year of starving myself, was that I wasn't conditioned enough to win the overall. And I'm like, that's such a slap in the fucking face when...
All I've been doing is conditioning.
And the women who are winning the overall are taking clenbuterol or Anavar or shit that I'm not willing to put in my body. Mm-hmm. Like, there should be tested divisions in NPC and tested... I mean, I understand people want to be the best, people want to go the furthest, but especially in the bikini division, they should have left it alone.
Yeah.
And so the rebound coming out from the show was terrible. Mm-hmm. I have been so restrictive for a year. So of course I go ape shit. Mm-hmm. There's just 3 months of me just, you're supposed to post diet. I didn't even have the mental capacity, especially after my feedback. I'm like, well, fuck you all.
Yeah.
And so the next day I ate like 3 crumble cookies and a Snicker. And of course the first thing I do is I go make myself throw up, mm-hmm. because I feel so guilty about eating. Mm-hmm. I feel so guilty about not being conditioned enough. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, I have to keep pushing. I have to go on with this. I got to puke this up and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And I kind of had like a coming to Jesus moment when I was on my knees in the bathroom after I threw up a bunch of crumble cookie. I'm like, is this what we're going to do, Madison? Yeah. Are we going to start being bulimic now? Yeah. Because the show has twisted us to a point where we feel like we're not good enough. We're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I ever made myself throw up. And that was kind of the moment where obviously I've gone back and forth with it a little bit, but I decided I'm not going to compete again in an NPC division, because I would rather compete in a division where it's tested.
Yeah.
Could I compete moving forward in a tested division? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've considered that, but I just think it's kind of overall become a very unhealthy, very stigmatized sport. And I think that it needs to be discussed more.
I mean, just the fact that literally is no other judgment other than what your body looks like is fucking crazy. Like, what does that do to you as a person? You know, like, I feel like that can't feel good because we go every day telling like, oh, don't judge a book by its cover. Like, your body is beautiful. You're beautiful the way you are. And then you join this competition where that's literally the furthest thing from the truth. Like, you are being judged for your body. We are judging a book by its cover. And your worth on this stage is completely tiled down to what you look like.
And it's subjective. Like, every judge has a different opinion on what they think each person because should look like.
Like, beauty is within the eye of the beholder. And I know it's not beauty necessarily. Like, it's, you know, they're looking for certain physical attributes on your body. But at the end of the day, it's who do they think looks the best? Who do they think looks like this and matches the criteria of
the leanest, the most shredded? Yeah. And it didn't used to be like that. And I could see like kind of a split in the judges because there was a couple judges that were like, wanted to put me in first for mm-hmm. for my overall division. But there was a couple more judges, clearly, that said, no, it's the conditioning's not there. Mm-hmm. And the girls who are winning, and not just me, but in a lot of these divisions, are like, their body fat is a place that is completely unsustainable. Mm-hmm. The whole sport is kind of unsustainable.
Extremely.
But there's a lot of people, and I have to give it to this sport, that have beaten addiction, have come out of really bad situations because they found this thing to hold on to. And I, someone who has a very addictive personality and kind of was using bodybuilding as a reason to quit drinking and just kind of try a new lifestyle, I realized that bodybuilding very quickly became my new addiction. Mm-hmm. The only thing I cared about. Mm-hmm. I mean, hours and hours and hours of cardio.
Yeah, you find a new vice.
Exactly, because it's something that you can focus on. Mm-hmm. And I was very goal-driven and very goal-oriented and I wanted to win. I'm very competitive. Mm-hmm. And so what failed around me was my relationship. Obviously, we're still together, but like, he's like, babe, you're
kind of losing your
mind. You're a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I barely saw you during that time period.
I didn't want to go out because I just felt like it was too much pressure to, you know, not be able to do things that I wanted to do. And people were kind of looking at me like, well, yeah, you know, and my job, my career definitely tanked because all I was focusing on was this one thing. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the end of it and I have two gold medals sitting in my living room, and now I've rebounded, you know, I'm 6 months post-show and I've gained 30 pounds, which is less than I lost. But still, it's like it comes back so quickly and I'm not able to sustain that look.
And it's like a fucks with your brain.
It's so hard on me. Even now where I'm like have a healthy relationship with food in the gym and I'm very active and I'm very healthy. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't like the way that I look. I look at pictures of myself from the show when I have a six fucking pack, which is so unrealistic for mm-hmm. 99% of women to have abs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why don't I look like that? Why can't I look like that? Even today, I showed my boyfriend a picture of me during prep and I was like, I think I want to get back to this body. This was like 2 weeks before my show. And I think that this is stable.
Yeah.
When I dieted for a year
yeah.
consistently
yeah.
to have that physique.
Mm-hmm. I think you look way better now than you did. Like, obviously, I know it feels good to fit in your clothes and feel like, you know, you are accomplished and working out and feeling fit and stuff, but you just look like, to me, maybe it's because I just know you and I know what like your body type looks the best like, but I just feel like you just look, and I won't even say healthy, like I genuinely think you look better now. And I know that doesn't like mean anything to you at the moment, but like someday I bet you look back and you think like the same thing.
And honestly, everybody that's close to me in my life says the same thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone's consecutive, consistent answer, yeah. it does make me feel better.
And I'm not just saying that because like I know how unhealthy that mindset is. Like I genuinely think you look good with like a little meat on your bones.
I've never been a really skinny girl. Mm-hmm. I'm muscular. I've always been.
And you don't look like big or overweight or anything. Like you look proportionate. And that's the thing I think the most is because when you were so thin, you were... Like, it's one thing to be, like, super in shape and muscly and thin, but, like, thick.
Yeah.
You were, like, thin. Like, your muscles were even
Everything
thin.
Was, like my muscles were flat.
You
yeah.
You were literally, like, Slender Man because you're so long and lanky and tall and, like...
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like, I had never seen you...
My ass... And for me to say my ass was flat...
You had no ass.
No.
And you have always had the best butt.
But I mean, like, it was very... And this is why I did well in bikini. This is yeah. why I won my divisions, because it was very round. Mm-hmm. But, like, from the side...
Flat.
And that's not how I look.
Yeah.
And no. It was very weird for me, too, because I've never really seen myself that skinny, that yeah. lean. And you kind of get, like, obsessed with it. Yeah. Like, oh, I can see another bone here. And
no, I fully remember being when I was super skinny. So, like, I... For reference, I'm like 135 right now. I was 115 and I'm 5'3". Like, I'm a small girl. So, like, it's not crazy to be 115. Like, that's definitely small. 130, 140 is, like, where I lie normally. But even 130, like, I feel really skinny nowadays. 115 is fucking crazy.
Tiny.
Like, I literally, but I loved it. I remember I would, like, turn to the side in the mirror and just look like a piece of paper, and I loved it.
You
I
just like the way it looks.
Rib cage, yeah. Like, when I wasn't, like, sucking in and, like.
And it's so not normal to,
what
like.
What the fuck are you talking about? Like, the fact that I idolized that body type for years after that, too. I look back on that, like, I didn't look good.
No, absolutely.
And my face looked like I looked like I was, like,
sunken
close
in
to death.
Yeah. No, when I look at pictures of my face on prep, first off, I have a big enough fucking forehead as it is. When I have no,
yeah,
like,
face fat,
my forehead looks so massive. Mm-hmm. And my body is very square. Yeah. I don't have, like, a natural curve.
Yeah.
So you could just see my bony ass hips.
Yeah.
I literally had my boobs. This is probably TMI for the crowd, but, like, I had striations and pecs. Like, I could move my pec like a dude. You could see the veins in my chest.
You were so vascular, like, all over your body. I remember it was crazy.
And I wasn't conditioned enough.
No. That's crazy.
I'm like, what do you want from me?
Go hit the treadmills.
Yeah. Like, do you want me to, like, invert and turn into, like, a black hole?
Yes, they do.
What am I supposed to do?
Which is crazy.
I'm 5'10". I was 136 pounds on stage.
That's fucking crazy.
I haven't been 136 pounds since I was in middle school.
I don't think you should ever be 100. I'm 136 pounds right now. I'm 5'3".
Yeah. It was not sustainable. And I knew I could see the people around me being, like, a little bit concerned, right? Yeah. Like, my stepmom and my boyfriend specifically, he's like, you know, and this is, again, probably TMI, but he obviously was very supportive of me. But was he super sexually attracted to me?
Yeah.
He would, like, grab my hip and, like, cringe, literally be like,
ugh. It just cracks.
Yeah, no, literally. And, like,
just stabs himself.
Our sex life was not good because not only did he not want to have sex with a little colonial boy, but I also was, your sex drive completely disappears. Yeah. All you care about is food and what you
and
look
you're
like.
Exhausted and hungry. Yep. And
then you turn orange. And you get a bunch of makeup on and you spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, can we just talk about the cost of bodybuilding alone? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for bikinis and hair and makeup and swimsuits and coaching and diet and registration fees and everything else just to go up and have some 45-year-old fat man tell you that you're not fucking conditioned enough. Like, I just, it was... All you don't realize all this when you're in the moment, right? Because you're so sucked into one thing. Same as when you're in a really toxic relationship or you're really, like, liking to party. Mm-hmm. It all becomes one.
It becomes normal.
Big consecutive lifestyle. Yeah. But when you step away from it and you get to look at, wow,
hindsight's always...
that was not normal.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able to come to this. I was worried about you because, well, the thing is, like, you always wanted to do the body competition. So I'm glad you did it. You got it out of your system. I was worried because you do have a very, like, obsessive, like, personality, addictive personality. Like, so do I, but yours, with the fitness thing specifically was concerning just because I knew how much you loved fitness, that I was worried that you would really let this, like, be an obsession that you really
took over my life.
Yeah. That you struggled to kick when you realized it wasn't sustainable, because it's just not. And I did a show, so I can a little bit relate to it, but I obviously didn't take it as seriously. Like, I was a kid kind of when I did it, so, like, I lost weight really easily. I had been working out as it was, and, like, you know, I just looked good at the time. There was, the competition was very,
like, a junior's
mild
division.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a serious thing. I just did it because my mom wanted, it was like a going away gift to my mom. Mm-hmm. But I do remember, like, my after the show, like, I didn't even want to touch broccoli or chicken or this or that. And, like, but I felt like I had to go to the gym all the time. Like, it's just the way that you then perceive life afterwards is, it's from a different lens and it's so unhealthy.
It's totally hard to get back into the swing of things too, because it's been
like
months.
A normal life. It's hard to, like, view normal life as okay.
In my relationship with the gym, I always had a very healthy relationship with the food and with food and the gym. And for the first time in my life, I don't want to work out because I get so burnt out. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while.
It causes burnout. That's what I felt too. After my show, I felt like an intense burnout. Like, I loved my gym time. And because you're just doing it so much to the point
it's where it's not a safe place anymore.
It
doesn't
not.
Make you feel good anymore. Yep. It you're not going so you can release endorphins and feel better. You're going to get skinnier and feel better. Yeah. And then my relationship with food too, the same way. It's like, I just didn't have a balance after it for a while.
It creates like a sense of PTSD around both of those things. Like, even if it's subconsciously, like, you just don't want to do it. You push it off and then you don't want to eat that but you feel like you have, trust me.
I knew at the end of my show when I was, you know, I had got a couple gold medals and I was third in the open, which for being a first time competitor was pretty amazing, good. My coach was like, you know, you're going to take the overall. I see you going so far. You're going to take the overall. You're going to be, you know, very, very successful in the sport. You just need a little, this exactly what he did. A little of Anavar.
No.
And I'm like, a little what the fuck?
It's like up your butt.
What
like
does that mean?
A little boof up your butt. Because he's going to take a straw and blow it up your butt.
Boof a little Anavar.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, it has become so normalized for people to push drugs.
Yeah.
And that was like, if it wasn't for my partner that I'm with now, who was like, babe, you are not going to go.
You would have done it.
Oh.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy is like if they just didn't let anyone do it, then it would all be fair. And then
if nobody did it,
then nobody would do it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And so he was like, baby, I love you and I support you no matter what you do, but you can't just do steroids. Like,
yeah,
it's not that simple.
Also, it's like what good does that feel? Oh, you won, but you took steroids. You had to take steroids to win. Because remember when you weren't on steroids and you lost
and you didn't win?
Yeah.
And what happens when you're 35, 40 and you're done taking steroids? You can have major long-term repercussions.
Yeah.
Nobody ever told me before I was about to stick a needle in my ass that it's possible that one use of steroids can make it so that you cannot have children.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking was going to tell me that.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that the use of steroids, even on a very minor level, can virilize your voice to a point where you do it one time, never fucking goes back. So I would have been walking around with a deep voice, infertile, but at least I won my bodybuilding competition.
Right. And you can always tell, and this is no disrespect to anyone, but you can always tell when girls are on steroids, they look very masculine.
And there is some women whose bodies don't react to it the same way, but how the fuck are you supposed to know?
You don't until you do it. And then one time's all it takes and you're ruined forever.
And you're done for. And even if your body doesn't react to it as negatively as some women, there are negative repercussions of it. And it does affect your mental, physical, and emotional health, your hormones, for a very long time. And this goes for men too, not just women. Mm-hmm. There's men who are so pressurized by this lifestyle to get bigger, 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 leaner. And it's not fucking possible. And so they all start juicing. And then one of the repercussions of that is major erectile dysfunction, major mood swings, their relationships suffer, and they get acne all over their body.
Yeah.
But they're super jacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, you always know when you go to the gym and you see a guy with like acne, cystic acne on the back of his calves.
Calves.
Or like their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Neck.
Gross.
Back.
Like, yeah. I'd rather have a skinny guy that doesn't have fucking cystic acne from his steroid use.
But no one wants to talk about the repercussions. They only want to talk about the benefits that come.
Mm-hmm.
And all these, especially younger guys, like they're putting guys on steroids at 18, 19, 20 years old. Their testosterone levels they're not even fucking
fully developed.
Their balls just dropped last year.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. And I honestly, I'm going to get reamed for this by my whole community, but somebody needs to check the division that this is so accepted. Mm-hmm. Like start testing these divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Or make strictly steroid divisions and strictly not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people want to do that, fine. But
then it should be like voiced and like this person's on
steroids.
We
are all on steroids. Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You win the steroid competition. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not fair.
No, it doesn't make sense to me because in like every other sport in the world, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't take sport enhancing drugs. It's illegal. So.
And there are there are tested divisions that nobody gives a shit about. Nobody watches, there's no recognition, and oh, you won, good for you.
Yeah, because they all know they're on steroids.
And you put a picture of someone who's on steroids, let's say they're classic winner, tested, classic winner not tested. You don't even want to look at the tested guy because it's just so unimpressive compared to
the one on
massive
steroids.
Cloud man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just...
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for your rebound, and I know it's been difficult, but like just the way that you've been able to self-reflect and just understand it from like a different perspective instead of letting it fully take over you and make you miserable is good, because I think a lot of people fall into the rabbit hole of like it changes their life and that becomes all consuming for the next like 10 years until they burn out completely, and then they feel even worse because they feel like they have nothing to live for and they're not this person that they created that they think they
that have, the whole like, world sees to. Them as yeah. Well, and that's the thing about the internet too, is like especially now with how much we put out, you create the standard. And I did with my bodybuilding page, like I created the standard for what I looked like, and then when I didn't look like that anymore, I just stopped
posting.
I ghosted. And it's so funny.
But it's so much more relatable to post normal content. Like you could still post your workouts. And I think that the majority of people would probably like that more.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
It's me, like, I would rather watch my that six than pack. Like, yeah. Because here's the thing. Yeah. You would be changing your demographic because now it would no longer be fitness competition people. It would be like the mass majority of human beings that don't look like that, nor do they want to look like that. Like they just want a good workout regimen from a girl. They with want a nice
balance.
Butt,
that's what we're talking you. About right now. Yeah. Balance. People on the internet are so terrible. That's why I was like so afraid to post, because someone commented on one of the reels that went viral that I did, like oink, oink. I'm like, why? Rude. And then a second comment was like, you should have manifested losing all that belly fat. No, I'm not kidding.
That is so fucking
rude. I literally just tagged my Fit page.
Yeah.
I was like, Matt, yeah, get back to me. Like, I shouldn't have even have done that, because who cares? But like, I don't fucking have stomach fat.
Yeah, no.
I'm not overweight.
First of all, that's fucking crazy that someone would say that.
But why are they coming at me like that?
Because they're fucking angry little men. With little piney peepees.
I know. I should have just looked at their picture. It was probably like some old
fat man in like his basement, his mom's basement. Well, anyways, I'm sorry that they did that. People are mean. Everyone tell Madison how beautiful she is, because it's true. And no one talk about her belly fat.
Thank you. You can talk about my fat ass though.
No. Well, I hope that this podcast was interesting or beneficial. I know like we'll probably get like half and half, because a lot of people probably don't know much about bodybuilding, or maybe a lot of people came here just for the bodybuilding portion. I happen to know about it because my mom and my best friend are very involved in that community, but I'm not. But it is good to talk about these things, and then like eating disorders too, or just unfortunate that they exist, but they will, and they will continue to exist. And all we can do is remind each other that like every body is beautiful, and the sooner that you become comfortable in your own skin. And like, I know that sounds again, cliche, and is easier said than done, is the moment that you'll feel so free. Because even though I still have days where like I feel insecure and I feel overweight and I feel like this and I feel like that, like I finally am in a phase of my life where I'm, although there are things that I wish I looked better and did better and like I could work a little bit harder at as far as my body goes, I at least can look at myself in the mirror and still think I'm beautiful, even when I have a little extra fat on my body. Like I can still appreciate what my body does for me and actually truly think that I'm beautiful with extra fat on my body.
And be proud of yourself and recognize your accomplishments.
Like, doesn't make you any less.
Keep working towards balance. And if you're fighting and struggling through an ED right now and you feel like purging is the only way that you are going to be able to get through it,
or binging.
Yeah.
Or
like, if you're struggling with anorexia and you feel like you can't eat because that's the only way you can stay thin, just know that there is a lot of help. There's a lot of support, and there's a lot of people that
suffer.
And
I know it's really embarrassing to like reach out to people, but find someone like in your life that cares about you that you can tell these things to, because I guarantee you, if you find someone that like loves you and cares about you, they're not going to judge you. They're going to listen to you, and it'll just feel good to not have this like secret looming over you, or to just have someone to talk to about it. Because I know that if I had admitted it to myself back when it was happening to me, maybe I could have found some help sooner and not had gone through the 6-year spiral that it caused for me afterwards.
But yeah, and there is balance. You can find it. You're not alone. You just have to believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. That was cheesy, but I liked it.
I was actually thinking we would cut that out.
Oh, okay. If you guys are struggling with anything that we ever talk about in these pods, you know, our DMs are always open. You can message us on the podcast Instagram or on our regular Instagrams, and we're always there to help anyone that needs it.
We're the girlies that are coming here to talk about the shit that you think about. We all think about,
but no one wants to talk.
Nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah.
So
also let us know if there's anything that you want us to cover, because I promise we'll be honest, and I promise we'll give you all the tea. So
Bad Therapy episode 15.
Cheers.